Okay, so as you mentioned, today I'll be talking about how recycling biochar can affect crop production and water quality. So first, if we start by looking at a system for recycling biochar, biomass crop, and in this example, we're producing a high biomass sorghum, and this crop would be harvested, dried, and chopped. And then you would run it through a pyrolyzer, and in this example, we used slow pyrolysis at 525 degrees Celsius. And during this process, you can capture syngas, you can capture the biocrude, and then, of course, collect the biochar. And once the biochar is collected, you'll be looking to apply this biochar back to the soil where the biomass was produced. And you can make a decision here if you want to incorporate or if you want to top dress. And this will cycle the nutrients and carbon and promote sustainable production. So the objectives of this study were to evaluate runoff and leaching loss of N, P, and K with respect to the biochar rate, the application method, and the use of supplemental fertilizers. The second objective was to compare the inputs of N, P, and K from biochar and fertilizer sources of nutrients to the outputs, and the outputs included plant uptake and runoff losses. So first, if we start by looking at the methods, I had a completely randomized design, and there was 8 treatments, 3 replications, and you can see here we're growing sorghum in box lysimeters under greenhouse conditions, and these lysimeters were moved under a rainfall simulator twice for rainfall events. But if we look at the first 5 treatments here, we have all of these received supplemental nitrogen fertilizer. So if we start here, we had the soil with the nitrogen fertilizer only, and then we had top dress biochar at 1.5 and 3 megagrams per hectare, and then we had the incorporated biochar at 1.5 and 3 megagrams per hectare. And again, all of these received supplemental nitrogen fertilizer. For the 3 remaining treatments, they all received supplemental NPK fertilizer. So here we had the soil with NPK fertilizer, and then we had top dressed or incorporated biochar at 3 megagrams per hectare. And talk about supplemental fertilizer. All of the treatments received 30 kilograms per hectare of nitrogen from ammonium sulfate. For the 3 treatments you see up here, they also received 50 kilograms per hectare of phosphorus and 100 kilograms per hectare of potassium. So this 3 megagram per hectare rate, that's was selected to represent 100% return of the produced biochar. So here I'm assuming a sorghum dry matter yield of 15 megagrams per hectare and a biochar yield of around 20%. So first, if we look at the properties of the feedstock and the biochar, and here we see the concentration of total N, P, and K, organic carbon, and water extractable P for the biochar, and then the concentration of total N, P, and K for the sorghum feedstock. And if we look at the concentration of nutrients in the biochar, you can see this 3 megagram per hectare rate is going to apply only 22, 7, and 12 kilograms per hectare of total N, P, and K. And also, if you look at the concentration of nutrients in the feedstock, compare that to the biochar, you can see that we did have fairly low recovery of nutrients during pyrolysis. The other thing to look at here is the concentration of water extractable phosphorus in the biochar. We're at close to 100 part per million for water extractable phosphorus, and that's indicating it could be a source of phosphorus in runoff. So I'll start by talking about the crop biomass production. So this is the sorghum biomass production over a 45-day period under greenhouse conditions. And in this slide, I have the leaf area index here in the solid bar and the dry matter production as megagrams per hectare here in the striped bars. And you can see the 5 treatments on there, all 8 treatments on the bottom here, and the 5 on the left are the ones that receive supplemental nitrogen, and the 3 here on the right-hand side, they receive supplemental NPK. And really, that's what we can see here made the difference, is where we applied the NPK fertilizer, it really increased the biomass production, and you can see that it increased leaf area index 58% and increased the dry matter production 86%. And I guess the important part here is that this modest rate of biochar really did not have an impact on the crop biomass production. But now if we look at soil organic carbon, and here we're looking at the concentration of soil organic carbon as grams per kilogram, and this is a 0 to 5 centimeter depth of soil, here we can see that the biochar did have an impact on the concentration of organic carbon in soil. And we didn't see effect of the rate of biochar, but there was a difference between the treatments with biochar compared to the treatments without biochar. So we compare that, we see that there was a 21% increase in the concentration of soil organic carbon there. And again, this was a modest rate of biochar, but we were able to demonstrate an increase in soil organic carbon. So now if I move to runoff, and here we're looking at the mass loss of dissolved reactive phosphorus in runoff. So this is mass loss is grams per hectare. And I have the first rain event in the solid bar and the second rain event in the striped bar. So that's at 21 and 34 days after planting. And the main thing you can notice here is there's a difference between the treatments where we top dress biochar compared to the treatments where we incorporated the biochar. So by incorporating the biochar, we were able to reduce mass loss of dissolved reactive phosphorus 73% at 21 days and 61% at 34 days. The other thing you notice here is for this treatment over here where we top dress 3 megagrams per hectare of biochar with the NPK fertilizer, that we lost almost 250 grams per hectare of dissolved reactive phosphorus in that first rain event. And see up here, I'm showing that only 278 grams per hectare of water extractable phosphorus was applied as biochar. So if we look at all of the treatments where we top dressed biochar, we see that there was a good relationship between the water extractable phosphorus that was applied as biochar and the dissolved reactive phosphorus in runoff. So now in this picture here, you can see the effect of top dressing biochar, and that there's definitely a runoff risk involved with top dressing biochar. So on the left is the picture before the first rain event, and on the right is the picture after the first rain event. And you can see that a significant amount of biochar was eroded from that surface during the first rain event. And it's estimated that 14 to up to 20% of the top-dressed biochar was lost in just 2 rain events, and that's probably a conservative estimate. So now, if I move to the mass balance of total phosphorus, and this is total phosphorus in kilograms per hectare, and again, for the mass balance, I'm taking all the inputs, which include fertilizer or biochar, and subtracting the outputs, which included plant uptake and runoff loss. We did not have any leaching during these rain events. So first thing I'll point out is over here where we had the 3 megagram per hectare rate of biochar without the fertilizer phosphorus, there was a slight surplus of phosphorus at the end of this 45-day period, but that's likely not going to be enough for full season production of this sorghum. Now, if we look over here where we supplemented with 50 kilograms per hectare of phosphorus fertilizer, we have a surplus of 40 to almost 50 kilograms per hectare yet. So that probably would be enough for production. But one thing to point out here is over here where we incorporated the 3 megagrams per hectare biochar with the phosphorus fertilizer, the runoff loss was no different than the 2 treatments you see highlighted in red where we top dress biochar without phosphorus fertilizer. So there you can see we have the potential to supply phosphorus for crop growth without increasing the risk of runoff loss. The other thing to point out here is where we incorporated biochar, you can see it tended to conserve phosphorus. And basically what we're doing here is just reducing the runoff loss of phosphorus to conserve phosphorus. And you can see there's either generally a slight increase in the surplus or decrease in the deficit for each of those treatments. So now if we look at the mass balance of total potassium, and this again is in kilograms per hectare, and again it's all the inputs and subtracting all the outputs. And what's really standing out here is for these 4 treatments here where we applied biochar without supplemental potassium fertilizer, we have a deficit of 30 to over 50 kilograms per hectare of potassium. So this simulated, or this 100% biochar return rate, did not supply sufficient potassium, so potassium fertilizer would be necessary for sustainable production. And another thing to remember here is we did have low recovery of potassium during pyrolysis, so pyrolyzer design, pyrolysis conditions are going to be critical for nutrient recovery and ultimately the sustainability of these systems. So in summary, recycling 3 megagrams per hectare of biochar, this 100% return rate, it did increase soil organic carbon 21%, but it did not increase sorghum dry matter production. So fertilizer, N, P, and K would be needed in this situation to maximize production. Also, we see here that biochar can contribute to runoff loss of phosphorus, and that top-dress biochar is going to be especially susceptible to erosion and runoff loss. So incorporating biochar is going to be necessary to improve nutrient cycling and to reduce runoff loss. And in the end, I feel that incorporating small amounts of biochar will be an effective way to sequester carbon in soil and to minimize the environmental risk.
We have time for a few questions.
Yes.
Did you say what kind of soil you were working?
This was a sandy loam, a fine sandy loam, and it was fairly infertile soil. So, yes.
How was the biochar incorporated into the soil?
Well, this was all put together using a cement mixer and mixed in very well before the soil was packed into the lysimeters.
Did you grind the biochar or pelletize it?
No, I just as it come out of the pyrolyzer, that's how it was. So it was. What is that?
The size of the biochar.
Probably less than 2 millimeter for the most part. Yes.
Mm.
Yes.
What comes to the question, but I was wondering now, what would be the effect of biochar on wind erosion instead of getting water erosion?
It's fairly light, so I think if it dries out at the surface, it could potentially blow. But it's hard for me to tell. Here we're under greenhouse conditions, so I'm not sure what the results would be out in the field.
But. I had one question. I was wondering if you considered higher application rates.
I was trying to select rates that would represent the biochar that would be derived from biomass that's produced per hectare. So that's just recycling 100% of what would be produced rather than going with a really high rate. And being that biochar could potentially be a source of phosphorus and runoff, that maybe would not be a good idea to really elevate these application rates because you could have environmental consequences if you were to do that. So.
Great. Thank you.